I'd like to start with telling you that our past conversations have helped me immensely to review my story. And I decided to remove two characters. This has made my story, I feel, more strong and it has got more depth. Now that brings me to a new question that has been lingering on my mind for the past 2-3 days, which is, how and what elements can be added or subtracted to bring in more depth into my story?
By elements means anything can happen as long as it is just driving the story in the right direction. You're not thinking from terms of like a plot point or anything.
No, no. I'm saying elements as in characters or props.
Okay.
Mainly characters.
Okay.
Props would be my other question, but in this mainly characters.
See, the way to look at it is that this is what I do, so it's not a kind of universal theory or something that I can boast of. But the way to look at it is that keep asking why this story is being written or told. The story is about one person's journey. And I feel everything that should happen in the story should happen for the reason to fulfill that journey. Even if initially it may look like it is driving the hero in an opposite direction, it should all culminate towards one purpose, that is hero reaching the goal. Now, with that thought in mind, if there is anything that is not serving that purpose, should be taken out. Be it a character, be it a situation, be it an object, it should be removed from the story because that is not the part of the story that is being told. Now, why and how should we decide if a character needs to be added? Is because this is basically a dialogue between a writer and an audience, right? Now, imagine that you have a concept, for example, a black cat. You are superstitious as a person. And you're superstitious that if a black cat crosses the path, something untoward will happen to you. Now, you're sitting with a friend who is not inclined towards superstition. Now, how do you talk? You talk in a way to rationalize why you believe it is true. Right? You don't fight with your friend for a reason that, you know, how can you possibly question my belief system? You explain your belief system. And in that way, you give every account of all the factors that has influenced your belief system. Right? Storytelling is just like that. I mean, a dialogue between friends. It's between a writer and an audience. You are convinced with the story. Now, if you are telling a story, you want the audience also to believe. And you should give every justification for the audience to see it from your point of view. Okay, now they say it's a craft, but it has originated from the art. That in every horror film, you will see that there is an expert who gets killed. Okay, there's an expert who is very confident that he can take care of the monster or a ghost. He somehow is looped into the story. He gets involved. And he's one of the guys who get killed. Why does this happen? Because the storyteller wants the audience to understand that this ghost is bigger than the expert, is more stronger and more powerful. And how can you show a villain to be more powerful? Pitching it towards an opponent, right, who is even bigger. That comes naturally. Now, because it was done in many of the stories, someone derived it as a craft. But I think it comes naturally. How else will you show that one character A is more powerful if the character A is pitted against character B, who is convincingly powerful, and character A defeats B? You know that the character A is stronger character. So that is a natural logic. And that's how you bring in the characters. If they serve a purpose, you add them. If they don't, they shouldn't be there in the first place. Or you should find a way to exit them from the story. I probably had shared it earlier, but there was a king who wanted a person to perform a magic, you know, to take care of the pests in the kingdom. The kingdom was harassed by rats. And there was this monk who had come and, you know, you remember that story? So your job as a storyteller is that, unlike that monk, you can't assume that what you know, they know. Okay. Now, which is why in Interstellar, Christopher Nolan repeats what is time bending. How in a black hole, people can go back in time, like time traveling. Even though in his previous movies, he has already explained the same thing. But why he's doing that? Maybe that audience who is sitting for that film may not have watched it. You know, so your job is to convey everything. Now, even if you are using a drug in the story, you have to explain it to the audience in a very creative way. What is the implication of that drug? No, you can't assume that the moment I say LSD, people know everything. You should have. Now, a lot of these things cannot be told from hero's point of view. Like, hero can't praise himself the same way we have devised with the sidekick character so that the hero can be flaunted. Same way, your job of bringing in character is to provide those information. Now, if there is a cop in the story, the cop can tell the audience that there were several other cases, and that heightens the horror of the situation, which could possibly come from a doctor or a reporter, but it cannot come from any Tom, Dick and Harry. It could come from a villager who is kind of a gossiper, but you know how this piece is joined. If you want to give that information to the audience, who do you need? Who will be the best fit for that?
How can a character bring in more depth into my story? Like the two characters that I have removed, I know they were not adding to anything. But okay. Now there is a certain character who I like. Mm-hmm. I like her character. But I did not write more about her. Now, how can she be the character who becomes important? Now, like, because you said, you know, my instinct and I have to think. So my question would be that I like her and I would want to enhance her character because I know she can bring in the depth to the story.
Okay.
But I'm a little not sure or unsure about how to develop her.
Okay. So, I keep saying that a writer has to have too many people inside his head. And this comes in handy in situations like this. Like, you are a friend to the audience because that's how you should see things when you are telling a story. But when you are building that story, you might have to change the position, change the characters, your as well as the audience. Now treat the audience as a parent, and you are bringing in a college friend, male, female, doesn't matter, you are bringing in. So how do you introduce your friends to your parents? What would you normally do?
Tell them good things.
That is called in craft as a redeemable trait. A redeemable trait is something that allows the audience to connect and root for that character. Even if your friend is a drug addict, if he's a generous guy who keeps helping other friends, the audience will still root for that character. There has to be one redeemable quality in the character for the audience to feel for that character. Otherwise, that is why the clear distinction, you know, when there is no redeemable quality, people think disconnected, feel disconnected, and they don't appreciate it. Now, in the olden days, the villains used to have this trait that, you know, they never had a redeemable quality. And that drove the storytelling to a point where the villains were caricatures. It was clear cut that they are all evil. Then storytelling evolved to a point where we started showing villains as humans also. And that made a bigger impact. The audience could see things from their perspective also. Even though they were rational enough to understand that this person is wrong, they could at least relate. And that those kind of stories made a bigger impact on audience. So whether it is villain, whether it is hero or a side character, supporting character, they should have something that the audience could root for it and at least feel connected with them in one way or other. Whatever their role in that story is, as a human being, they should have something worthwhile.
See, that's what I felt when I just wrote. I was writing in a flow. And so one particular part in my narrative is what made me feel that I need to bring in her more.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I now bring in more of her? What I wrote about her just came with the flow. Now, how should I restart my flow and bring more of her into my story?
See, okay. The smartest thing to do is that if you want to build a longer block, you have to firm the base right. The wider the base, it can take the weight of the blocks. It is used in architecture also, in building constructions also. The skyscrapers will have a better foundation. The same goes for story. Anything that happens needs to happen in the later stage, even if it has to come as a surprise or a shock to the audience, there has to be seeds of it in the first act. You can't introduce new things after the first act border is crossed. So even if your first act says that she was just a normal housemaid and was not involved much in the family story, perhaps you'll have to go and change that. Perhaps you'll have to transform that maid character into a way that her word is a command. It's probably one thing that the family would never go against. It's like she is taken a position of authority in this family. Anyways, your family is kind of a lovable characters who don't have any malice in their heart. So it's quite possible that she has taken a position of authority, and when that kind of power is given to the maid character, the audience would expect whatever she does in the later stage. if suddenly she takes charge and everybody is listening to her, it becomes very disconnected.
I get it.
Hmm.